Going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Just Another Magic Podcast is brought to you today by MDGMadness.com and by MDGO bot Motomark. That's Moto underscore Mark. Be sure to check them out and let them know that we sent you. And now, on with the show. This is where you're supposed to say hello.
Oh, me this week? Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 56 of Just Another Magic Podcast. I am Jason, as always, and with me, as pretty much almost always, is...
Hey, everyone, Greystone here. Glad to be back. Glad to be annoying Jason.
Yes, he's trying to get me cultured. But it won't work. Even though there are other people trying to get me cultured, that won't work either. I will always be living in the whenever I'm living in.
Well, it's not the 80s, it's not the 90s, definitely not the 1000s.
Oh no, not the 1000s, like the 60s.
You in the 60s. Alright, so I gotta find a famous song from the 60s to sing at some point this episode.
The Get Smart theme would work.
Oh, 100 best songs from 1960s. We have...
Considering the music I like is mostly classical stuff and a very, very select few modern-day songs, I mean...
Well, we got Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire is 99. Oh,
no.
My Girl, Twist and Shout, Stop in the Name of Love. Well,
I
sing
only
all
know
of
Twist
these.
And Shout because of Andrew Schrout, his article series. Or his article was named Twist and Shrout.
Test and Shroud, okay.
Yeah, the pun is real. Well, we also got the top 100 magic puns of all time at the Pro Tour this week, which is probably something we should talk about.
Yeah, why not? I didn't get to see them, unfortunately.
Good segue is not bad. Well, that was a joke that Richard made. It was actually they were going to talk about conspiracy, but do we want to go into conspiracy first or the Pro Tour first?
Oh, we'll start, do what we did last time, oldest to newest, or do you want to start newest to oldest?
Does not matter to me.
Let's start backwards. We'll start newest to oldest, so we'll go with standard and discuss the block decks from this last week's Pro Tour, Journey into Nyx 2014, where Patrick Chapin finally took down a well-deserved Pro Tour win.
He never won a Pro Tour before?
No, he did not have a Pro Tour under his belt.
Interesting. He is a Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer. He had a lot of... Let's see, I'm looking directly at the deck lists. Let me back up a page and you can actually bring up his profile.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got 4 Pro Tour Top 8s, 3 GP Top 8s, and he is Pro Tour Hall of Fame. However, he had not won a Pro Tour until this past weekend, even with being as...
A Pro Tour?
Pro Tour.
We're going to have the midget say who said what there. I thought you said Bro Tour.
Yeah, by the way, did the midget not prove me right last week?
The midget proved both of us wrong last week.
So if you were wrong, that means I was right.
No. If you were wrong and I was wrong, we were both wrong.
But again, if you were wrong, that means I was right. I did
not
necessarily.
Say. Oh, well, yeah, because you took it, yeah. See, I should have made you say what word you thought you said.
Yeah, and then I would have looked
really,
really... Instead
of just letting you take everything else. And then you would have looked stupid. But now I look stupid.
I'll just blame the fact that I was... I can just say I was drunk.
And are you tonight?
No, I'm not
That's
drunk yet.
Start working at it. Show gets better that way.
I'm glad you think the show gets better with me being drunk. Alright, so back to our block decks. Alright, so Patrick Chapin was playing Junk Midrange with Brimaz, Corsair Crucifix, Fleece Mane Lion, Pulacranos, and Sylvan Caryatid. In the spell department, Banishing Light, Hero's Downfall, Read the Bones, Silence the Believers, and Thoughtseize with Elspeth's Sun's Champion.
Alright, so we knew Elspeth was going to do a lot of work at the Pro Tour. We didn't know, well, what was assumed was we were going to have a 36 Elspeth top 8. We had a 32 Elspeth top 8, I believe, just the Stanislav Sifka deck not running Elspeths.
That was the red-white heroic?
Correct.
Yeah.
So we had a... Oh no, there were the bug control decks. Yeah, we actually had a fairly diverse metagame. I'm sorry.
If you can call it that. I saw way too many Elspeths, which just goes to show exactly how powerful she is. And spoiler alert, I'm going to go back a couple episodes. Do you remember when I was talking about Hero's Downfall?
Yes, I do.
And predicting that it was going to be Elspeth that was going to die, and that was a premonition card?
Correct.
Well, spoiler alert, Elspeth is dead.
How so? She just won a Pro Tour.
She might have won a Pro Tour, but in the storyline, they killed her off.
So wait, she's now dead with Venser, so we're not getting any more Elspeths or any more Vensers?
Which could explain why this Elspeth Sun's Champion Planeswalker was so bloody powerful.
And why we had the consecutive mana costs 4, 5, 6, and then it falls off power. But excuse me while I go cry, because Elspeth was a great Planeswalker, as with Venser.
Yeah, we're going to have to put in the show notes that this contains spoilers, if anybody else has not read the ebook. And apparently it was Heliod that was responsible for her death.
Heliod?
Yeah, I don't know how or why, I just know that apparently it was him.
Yeah, I don't like what they did with the Return to Ravnica storyline with this storyline of we're building up to a climax and then we don't tell you the climax, you have to read an ebook or... And then nobody knows. I still don't know who won the maze running. I think it was like Jason. He screwed everything up. But they never put that out there.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in the Dragon's Maze and the way that they finished out Ravnica. I do have to say, as much as Elspeth being dead kind of sucks, I like how they, flavor-wise, played into this. And as for having to read the ebook, that's just marketing genius to be able to make more money.
But seriously, who bought the ebook?
At least, I don't know, some people did, because they were posting about it on Twitter, so they made money.
I know they made money, but I don't know if it's worth it to write an ebook about something that not too many people are going to buy. I mean, it gets to a point where, is it worth the author's time if they only make... say $1,000 on a book that took them a month to write?
That would depend. I would suspect that the author is probably already on staff. So it probably didn't cost them anything. I mean, you're going to be handing an author an already pre-made storyline and saying, here's a storyline, here's what we have to deal with, this is what we want to happen, and go. Heck, there are probably 100,000 people out in the Magic community that would love to, you know what, we'll put you up and we'll let you work at Wizards while you're working on this 3-month tenure, and you can hang out with all the people that work at Wizards, and they would jump on it.
Yeah, I guess I'm not one of the talented people in writing, and I really don't understand how people can elongate a storyline that can be summed up in a few pages, a few paragraphs, whatever, how they can elongate that into a 60 or 70 page book. I mean,
I don't know. How do politicians take something as easy as a law and turn it into like 700 pages?
That is very true. And it's more like 1500 or so on average these days, but it's, well, that's legalese terms, but I always get right to the point when I write something. And that always gets me hell from teachers because I don't write it long enough for them, so.
Alright, and back to the rest of the decks. We had Josh Utter Layton with Bug Control, 12 creatures, Corsair Crucifix, Prognostic Sphinx, Sylvan Caryatid. In the spells, Bile Blight, Dissolve, Hero's Downfall, Silence the Believer's Thought Seize, and Unravel the Aether mainboard, which is a little surprising. Then also had Ashiok and Kiora. What do you think of that list?
I actually want to try Bug Control on Magic Online. One of these days I'll get around to it. Probably after the Innistrad drafts. I figure a lot of the cards are going to go up. Corsair of Kruphix sitting at $8. It's a mainstay in every single green deck in the format. When Ravnica rotates out, we're getting much worse mana. And I mean much, much worse mana in the format. So I think Corsair of Kruphix is going to be a very, very strong and expensive card. I think it could be up to 15 or 20 like Snapcaster was.
Very possible. It also seems to... I could see it finding a home in some form of a modern deck if someone decides to try and build around it. I can also see this is going to be a commander staple for any deck that's running green as well, which will jack the price up. So if you got them early, good on you.
Yeah, that's why I'm not waiting. That's why I'm not buying. I was kind of hoping for Mutavaults to go back up because I had paid originally 20 for mine, then I sold them around 30 and I bought back for 27 and now they're down to 15. I was hoping once they hit 20 they drop too far that they were going to spike back to 25 for a period of time, but it's disappointing. And mono black devotion cards are worthless now, so the $300 deck is sitting around 150 right now, and that's just terrible.
Yeah. Now, the one card that is in Outer Leighton's list and is in a few other lists that they were talking about all week as being one of the big cards and pretty much the card that's going to be replacing Aetherling, or they presume it's going to be replacing Aetherling come September when Ravnica rotates out, Prognostic Sphinx.
Well, Aetherling didn't see too much play in general. I don't think Prognostic Sphinx is as strong as Aetherling is as
hold
a finisher.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yep.
Aetherling saw almost no play. Did you miss...
That is correct. It was a one-of.
Did you miss an America Control?
No, it was a one-of or a two-of in the deck, and sometimes it was just a sideboard card. The card saw play in, I would say, less than 10% of the metagame, and it never went over $2 for a reason. There was no demand for Aetherlings. Although people played them and it was very good, there was just not the four-of demand that you're going to be seeing for the Corsair of Kruphix.
Okay. Well, talking about Prognostic Sphinx. I think when we talked about this card originally, I said it was going to be a really good card.
Yes, and I believe I poo-pooed the idea because it's Theros and I hate Theros.
Which you're coming around on it now.
I like Journey into Nyx. I still hate Theros.
Okay. And Sylvan Caryatid.
Sylvan Caryatid, I've been saying this forever. This card is nuts. 25-cent Sylvan Caryatids are not here to stay.
No.
And I have not speculated on them, but I certainly have a few playsets.
Okay. Next is Reed Duke playing Bug Control.
Reader Rabbit. All right. So it's another Bug Control list. I wanted to mention this for the other one, but I'll mention it now. Kiora is extremely, extremely overrated in block. The card is just not good. And Greystone got a call or a text message or something, so I am left stranded. So it's the same Bug Control deck we've been seeing for a while. Well, in the rest of the top eight. For other cards that are going to make an impact in it...
Well, in Reed's list, he did have a Reaper of the Wilds. It's a little shock to see that, but it is
correct.
It's a powerful card. Especially, what was he using it with? I saw Reaper of the Wilds came out, and I think it was in combination with an Elspeth was out, and a bunch of soldiers dying, and him just deciding to, like, he could have scryed 6, I think it was what they said, and he decided to not.
So one of Reaper of the Wilds, interesting. And that's with the one of Bile Blight in the main board, which I don't like. Bile Blight is such a versatile card in block constructed. It's a 1-for-1 at worst. At best, you're killing a bunch of Elspeth tokens and scrying off your Reaper, or you're just wiping out some Elspeth tokens, and you Hero's Downfall the Elspeth. You still get 2-for-1, but you have to deal with that Elspeth.
And you've got Drowning Sorrow as well.
It's very good against the aggressive. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. Sorry for being stupid.
All right. And actually, I remember reading a tweet somewhere that it was rather disappointing that in a lot of these decks, there's only one or two cards that are not rare.
I mean, that's where that's where Magic has been going the past few years. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Rares and Mythics rule the format. I mean,
all right. What did you think about Namsung Wook's Junk Constellation?
Namsung Wook. So this would be the only non-American in the top eight, I believe. No, we had an Italian too, Mengucci. All right. So Namsung Wook was playing a Junk Constellation deck. Well, standard mana base, except he's only running two mana Confluence. I guess he was expecting aggro decks. I don't know about aggro at a Pro Tour, but one of them made top eight, as we'll see. Brain Maggot, four of Courser of Crucifix, four of Eidolon of Blossoms. This card spiked after the Pro Tour. Three Herald of Torment, four Sylvan Carry added, three Elspeth, four Thoughtseize, four Downfall, four Banishing Light, two Silence the Believers. I really, really like this deck list.
It does seem like a solid deck list. I have to say, I was surprised to not see more Banishing Light in the top eight.
Yeah, Oblivion Ring is just so good.
And the Herald of Torment was just, it's fantastic. I see that, and I was a little surprised that I didn't see much in the way of Master of Feasts. But again, we didn't see much in the way of aggressive decks in the top eight.
Yeah.
Right. What is interesting in the sideboard, if you took a look at it, there's four Fleecemane Lions and three Reaper of the Wilds in the sideboard. That, to me, says that he has a plan to be able to go really long game, if need be.
I guess, yeah.
All right. Now, the next deck, I personally don't like it.
We have a question from our live studio audience.
All right.
Why does Greystone sound like a drunk Irish grandpa?
Drunk Irish grandpa. Maybe because I am drunk, and I'm not a grandpa yet. But I could be Irish if you want me to.
Oh, so you're that Irish guy that came on like 10 episodes ago for a few minutes.
Yes, I abducted myself.
You abducted yourself? That's worrying.
No, it's lame is what it is.
That's... that. Yes, that is true.
Alright, so... Red Green Elspeth. In short, this is Red Green Monsters, and they just splashed temples so that they could cast Elspeth, because she's Elspeth.
Yeah, Red Green Elspeth decklist that we've been seeing forever out of the format from the very beginning, where I started going infinite. Naya midrange is nuts. Not as good now as it was, but it's still fine.
Yeah, I mean, again, the only. Now, there were two red-green Elspeths in the top eight, and I'm just taking a look at the second list.
Yeah,
the second
what
list.
I don't like about the second list...
The second list is not red-green Elspeth.
Piloted by Yuki Ichikawa. That's running three mana Confluence, which I don't like. It's running two Ajani Mentor of Heroes, which I also don't like.
The mana Confluence makes sense only because he's running... This is more of a Naya than it is Red-Green Elspeth, because you have four Banishing Light and four Chained to the Rocks main board. So you're already running 12 cards. 12 of your, reading, 36 cards are white. That's Naya, that's not Red-Green Elspeth. So we are looking at two different lists here. That's a lot of Planeswalkers, too.
Yeah, that is seven walkers in the deck. That's how it's always been. I preferred the four Xenagos lists, but the three Xenagos lists are fine as well, especially when you have more options nowadays with the Courser of Crucifix, which I'm sure if that was in Theros, the deck would have been exponentially better.
Well, I think the Ajani, the two Ajani Mentor of Heroes, was probably in there in order to be able to dig faster for the Elspeths, the Chain to the Rocks, and the Banishing Light, giving this an almost Naya control aspect with the ability of Stormbreath Dragon, Pulacranos, and Polis Crusher to go aggro with the Courser of Crucifix ramp. I really do like this list. Ichikawa's, not Mengucci's.
I really do not like the Ajani Mentor of Heroes, though. Card is just not great.
I don't know. think a Polis Crusher. If you had a Johnny out and you dropped down the Polis Crusher and you gave it, turned it into a 7/7 trample protection from enchantments, not much out there. Well, Hero's Downfall could take care of it, but it's going to get past a lot of other creatures out there. Brain Maggot, enchantment creature. Corsair Crucifix, everyone was running him, enchantment creature. Eidolon of Blossoms, enchantment creature. Herald of Torment, enchanted creature. Sylvan Caryatid. Well, that would stop it.
Sylvan Caryatid has hexproof and is not an enchantment.
So, I don't know. After that, our only aggro deck.
Stanislav Sifko with a red-white heroic.
Red-white heroic. So a Crowan Crusader, favorite hoplite, hero
your
of Irella.
Favorite.
Yep. Mogus Warhound. I'm pretty sure a card that nobody ever thought they would see in constructed play.
Did anyone think they would see a Crowan Crusader or favorite hoplite, though?
I could see favorite hoplite. Favorite hoplite is incredible.
I mean,
good.
Satyr hoplite, I'm sorry.
Oh, Satyr hoplite. No, didn't expect Satyr hoplite.
Or Dragon Mantle, Coordinate Assault, Launch the Fleet. I mean, Ordeal of Purphoros. These cards are just not constructed playable. Lagona Band Trailblazers out of the board.
Yeah, Brim Essence out of the board.
Chain to the Rocks out of the board, Fall of the Hammer, another Mogi's Warhound, and Ordeal of Heliods out of the board. I'm assuming for the mirror that probably doesn't exist.
Yeah, looking at this, it's a really, really, really fast weenie deck. And I think the one Hero of Iroha for the 4 Ordeal of Purphoros or the 4 Ordeal of Heliods or the Mogus Warhound, that doesn't... +2/+2... And attacks each turn if able. I guess you could use that as tech to force your opponent to leave themselves without a blocker. But
what I have seen it as is it's just something that will get you over their turn 3 Corsair of Crucifix. You slam this on your 1-drop or your 2-drop and you ram through the Corsair of Crucifix. That's the point of the card.
I guess so. Launch the Fleet scene.
It's also just good against removal.
I can see where this game plan is going, because you've got how many? You've got at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 one-drops. And Phalanx Leader, Mogus, Hero, you don't have a creature past 2-drop, and you have 4 Launch the Fleet main board. That is a great heroic. Yeah, that's just an absolutely great heroic card. Can you imagine if you did this, attacked, and next turn did the exact same thing with all of those additional 1/1 white soldiers?
Oh, yeah.
It
was an amazing game against, I think it was one of these games against Josh Utter Layton was amazing. It was a blowout by Launch the Fleet. I don't remember the details, but it was just tons of heroic triggers to blow him out, but Josh was screwed on 3 lands the whole game and no double black for Vile Blight. From what I saw, Sifka's list was garbage, but I don't know that.
You know, it's the most budget list on there, except for the Mana Confluence.
Yeah, and you don't need Brimaz's. You probably don't need Mana Confluence. It'll definitely make the deck better, but you don't need them. And you certainly... I think you could up the Hero of Iroha. I know you're happy to hear me saying that.
Yeah, I do like Hero, but its synergy is very limited. Because again, it just touches the Ordeal of Purphoros or Heliod, or it makes Mogus's Warhound 1 cheaper to bestow. So 1 copy.
You can take this deck in a completely different direction. Hey, Greystone, maybe if we can get you to play Saturday Night Melee, which is a free standard two-headed giant tournament, Saturdays at 7 o'clock, hosted by yours truly, you could do well in it with something you borrow from me, and then possibly get this deck to play in it.
I will think about that, but if I'm going to run something, I'm going to run my Scrybaby deck only because I think it's better than this, in my opinion, but...
Oh no, it's standard, so I have... We can talk about that later.
Alright. Nice plug, by the way.
Yes, I know. I like to work in the plugs, because where would you be buying those cards if you did well at Saturday Night Melee?
I'll tell you where I'd be buying them.
Where you bought your Eidolon of the Great Revels.
Yes.
And I've bought many draft sets.
All right. So...
You didn't even do the plug. Motomart, Moto_Mart on Magic Online. Check them out. And if you want to get entered to win a free draft set, there's information in the description. You just send an email with the subject line draft set to an email that I don't know off the top of my head, but trust me, it's in the show notes.
And to finish out our block list is another Bug Control. Corsair Crucifix, Prognostic Sphinx, Two Reaper of the Wilds in the main board, Sylvan Caryatid. In the spell department, we got Bile Blight, Dissolve, Drown in Sorrow, Hero's Downfall, Psychic Intrusion, Read the Bones, Silence the Believers, and One Unravel the Aether. And
I really like Unravel. Oh, yeah.
And three Kiora. I will agree with you. Unravel.
I really
the
like
Aether.
Unravel.
There's so much enchantment.
It's naturalize on steroids because it hits gods.
Yep. It's a good tuck.
And in a really, really awkward situation, you can shuffle your own Corsair into your deck to give you an extra turn.
Or to save it from a hero's downfall.
It really depends on the situation. I would probably never do that unless my opponent wasn't running any enchantments that I knew of that were threatening. Because that's a 2-for-1 that you never know you're getting your card back. You may never get that Corsair back. If you shuffle it back into a 40-card deck, the likelihood you hit that Corsair is probably 1/4 or less if you go 10 more cards in. So
yeah,
the card quality doesn't get that.
Yeah, but
that
I could see a pro having another Corsair on the top of the deck being viewed by said Corsair and doing that knowing full well that he was going to drop another one next turn.
Fair enough. Yeah. It lends itself to advanced play skills.
All right. So that's block. Judging from what we see in Block, what do you think the new standard is going to look like when Ravnica rotates out? Do you think it's going to be junk, or do you think it's going to be bug?
I think it's going to be mono-red or red-white decks, to be honest with you. We'll see what we get in M15, but I think that there's a very, very good aggressive deck that can be had. And they've been printing cards for it by reprinting Magma Spray. They're pushing the burn in the format. We have Lightning Strike currently. We have Eidolon of the Great Revels, which means all the control decks can only go 4 drops and up, or they're going to be, I think it's shocking themselves.
Don't forget.
Yeah, they're going to shock themselves to Hero's Downfall, your 2-drop.
Don't forget Seder, the Seder Fire Dancer that will burn their creatures.
Yep, we have Seder Fire Dancer as well. The only thing we're losing is Boros Charm, which is a big help to the deck, but again, it might not be burn, it could just be aggressive. Put in the Eidolons in place of Ash Zealots, which they're already taking the place of Ash Zealots.
Yep.
Maybe some red-white Elspeth Purphoros shenanigans.
That would be... I could see that being the new America Control.
They have better finishers. Prognostic Sphinx is probably better than that for a finisher. But I think you can't interact with Purphoros. So you get your Purphoros down. And you're an aggressive deck, so you have them at a low life total already. And then if you happen to hit that Elspeth, it is your finisher right there. 6 mana. Sure, you discard your Hero's Downfall, but I get 3 tokens and deal 6 to the face.
6 mana, 6 damage. Seems fair enough.
Indeed. Quite good, actually.
And yet Lava Axe is a bad card.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a 1-for-1 because they're going to have to Hero's Downfall your Elspeth, or you deal them 12, and they're going to have to deal with the tokens, or you use Purphoros' second ability to Fire Breathe them and smash face.
Yep.
So this is probably a 2 or 3-for-1, depending on what's going on in the board. Elspeth is just such a good Magic card.
Yep, and I'm sure everyone is going to miss her. But the question now is, going story-wise, do you think Ajani's going to go off the deep end?
What do you mean, go off the deep end?
I don't know. He just lost Elspeth, his buddy.
Ajani goes back and fights Nicol Bolas on Warlords of Care, or whatever it's called?
I don't know.
Because there are that's a dragon plane in Nicol Bolas, Archon Vol, back to Alara. Conspiracy time.
Yeah, oh dear. We're going to a dragon plane?
Yes, you didn't
you
see
think,
the announcement?
You know, I saw that. I just had an epiphany. I don't think that we would ever see, like, Arcady Sabbath again, but if ever there was a set to print them in, the original Elder Dragon series.
Well, I believe what was said is there are no... It used to be a dragon-filled plane, and the current theory that I believe is that we're going to start out there currently or in the future. Then in the second set, we're going to stay there. And then in the third set, there's going to be some time warp, and we go back to this dragon time. I don't know if that's going to be like Alara, where they're all five colors, so all the spells, all the creatures would be dragons.
Well,
but I think there's a distinct possibility that we're going to have a heavy, heavy, heavy dragon theme in the third set.
Well, to talk about speculation, since we are on standard and it will become standard, Morrow said that it was going to be a large, small, large set, and that they were going to do something that people have wanted them to do for a very long time, but what was the other part of that quote? I remember when he was on.
It was something that they've wanted to do for a long time. Well, two things. They've done in the past and we've been asking for.
Well, okay, I'm going to stop
and
speculate on that.
They have never done, been asking for.
Okay, I'm going to stop and speculate on the first one. We're going to get the alternate fetches.
What's an ultimate fetch?
Alternate.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get the onslaught fetches.
The ones. Okay, the onslaught fetches.
That's
a distinct possibility, but wasn't it you just telling me before that they said they're not reprinting the fetch lands for financial reasons because they didn't think they would be $100 cards?
No, they said that they weren't going to be able to slot the reprint of the current fetch lands for at least 2 years. But they're saying that they're doing something that that the Magic community has wanted. And one thing that the Magic community wants, especially if you're playing Modern...
Well, he was saying for a long time. Have we wanted Onslaught fetches for a long time? Or is this just a recent thing, which is, oh my god, we're sitting at $90 Scalding Tarns, $80 Misties, $60 Arid Maces, we need more fetch lands. I think it's a more of a recent thing, because when the fetch lands were $5 or $10 a year and a half ago, no one wanted the Onslaught ones.
Okay. Well, in that case, maybe we're going back to... Oh, I don't see how they could do a traditional tribal block.
Yeah, they could have... See, the two tribes that stick out to me... Well, the three tribes would be warriors or humans, so a Kamigawa-esque block... But with goblins or dragons, but then you only have white and red covered. But when you look at what they did with Innistrad, where we have the two main colors in Innistrad, which would have been black and white, and they expanded it throughout the color pie, maybe that's what they're doing with this set. Now, this is a bottom-up design, so it's a mechanically designed set, so it may not work out like Innistrad if they're just going straight mechanics.
Yeah. Well, going off of you saying that this is a bottom-up design?
Yes, so that means they start with mechanics and they add flavor last.
We're going to go to something the complete opposite, and we're going to talk about conspiracy!
Well, actually, I meant to mention this last week, but I have a conspiracy that some of the cards that they have shown are going to end up being different in packs. Just putting it out there. That would add a little bit of mystery to the set.
All right, then. But the most recent article I read on the Mothership talked about how Conspiracy was actually designed as a top-down set, and that they were going... based almost exclusively on flavor and then working all of the mechanics into it as it was designed. And another conspiracy is that this may very well be Dak Faden's home plane. What do you think
about
that?
There's a plane involved with conspiracy?
Yes. There is a plane involved in conspiracy.
Okay, I didn't know about this, so you're going to have to explain it to me and the listeners.
All right, I'm going to go... It was put on the mothership, conspiring a conspiracy, Sean Main, Tuesday, May 20th, which is when we're... when we're recording this. So this was actually put out this morning. And summoning up, where is it? Adam Lee was a conceptor and was trying to wrap his head around how to approach the design. He started by suggesting some kind of grand melee battle arena setting. I told him I didn't think that was right metaphor, but wasn't sure what would be, and invited him into a playtest. Adam watched a game for less than an hour and left. When I saw him the next day, he launched into the pitch. Well, obviously, it's all political intrigue. Think of the Renaissance Game of Thrones or Medici or Borgia, political scheming in a world with a steampunk edge. Maybe this is Dak Faden's home world, and we could build some legends to give faces to the different mechanics and side in political struggles. And it goes off to say...
I kind of wish conspiracy was a real block.
And he was off constructing a world guide where the player's intrigues and plotting echoed in the inhabitants of Fiora, the name of the plane. Our black and white words on playtest cards had a colorful home, one that felt so natural you might have thought conspiracy was a top-down design. So Fiora is the plane.
Interesting.
And it is the birth plane of Dak Faden. So we finally know where he was from.
So Dak was born here.
Was born in
so
Fiora.
How long ago were Fiora. They developing conspiracy? Do we know this? Because I remember people were asking for Dak since 2012, I believe. Summer of 2012, when the Duels 2013 came out on Steam. So did they immediately start developing? We need to find... Well, did they... Or were they trying to fit Dak in somewhere, and they just figured here was the place?
Well, Dak always had a home. Like, Dak was from
Fiora. Right, we just
Fiora.
Didn't know where
we
it
know,
was.
Well, we knew where the, Have you read any of the comics involving Dak?
Do you think I read comic books?
You're a geek, I would assume it's a possibility.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, in the comic books, it goes into some of his history and... Oh, I'm not going to spoil anything there. I'll spoil...
Spoil it. Spoiler alert, 35 seconds.
I haven't read all of it, so I'm not going to go into anything other than they knew that he was on Fiora, and so it looks like either they designed Conspiracy with that in mind, or they took everything that was in Conspiracy and just plastered it with Fiora flavor. But either way, I still think it's a really cool concept, which means they could turn this into... It has the potential to become a block. Like, if they release one this year, release one next year, and release one the year after to deal something with his storyline.
Yeah, this conspiracy set just has all of the flavor that I would love to be in a real set.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing.
Oh, well, let's go over our latest cards.
Yeah, we have a ton of them. Do we want to just hit upon the new cards and not the old stuff?
I believe... Well, how many cards go back? Oh, there's a...
Yeah, they had a video at the Pro Tour that essentially spoiled the whole set.
Spoiled a lot of them. All right, let's go over the last 2 days, and then we'll pick and choose from that one. Because there's a few cards in the pick and choose that look really good as reprints.
So May 20th, Misdirection Exploration Route.
Oh. Yep.
Let that sink in for a second. That's... $70, like 25, and I don't know what route is.
Yep, that's money.
Now, that is a non-mythic misdirection, so I think misdirection will take a hit in price.
Probably, but how many decks actually play it?
I don't know, but it's expensive only because it's rarity.
Alright, going for cards that hasn't been reprinted. Scourge of the Throne. What do you think about this, Granddaddy? 4 red, 5/5 flying with Dethrone, and whenever it attacks for the first time each turn, if it's attacking the player with the most life or tied for the most life, untap all attacking creatures. After this phase, there is an additional combat phase.
So, politics. That card is insane. Just as a 6-mana 5/5 flyer with upside, it's insane. Pack one, pick one, obviously.
Yep. You could definitely have a lot of fun with this. The funny thing about this is if you go off and you attack the first player with the highest life total, if you drop him down, you go into your second main phase, you now have to go after... Don't have to, but it would make sense to go after the next highest life total in order to turn this. By the time you're done, it will be a 7/7 flyer.
Correct. Yeah, it has the Aurelia clause, so you just can't go infinite on attacking people, which is a good thing. Because then, that would be pretty broken.
Now, the next one I saw this morning, and for flavor-wise, I think it's absolutely amazing. And Worldknit. Conspiracy, start the game with it in your command zone. I like the fact that they're using the command zone in something for more than Commander.
Yeah, and it's used for emblems as well. When a Planeswalker ultimates and you get an emblem, or Sorin minus ones and you get an emblem.
All right, so as long as every card in your card pool started the game in your library or in the command zone, lands you control have tap, add one color, or any one color to your mana pool. So if you if you take every card you drafted and throw it into a deck and you have this, every single mana you put down, it doesn't matter what color it is.
I mean, Worldknit seems fine. I just think it's that great, though, because was Chromatic Lantern playable in our RTR block if it didn't ramp you? And the answer is simply no.
But, no, this isn't a ramp. This is just pure mana fixing sitting in your command zone.
Exactly.
I don't know, for flavor-wise, if you're playing with every card that you drafted, you could be able to cast every card that you have because you're not going to have any mana screw outside of not drawing enough lands.
As I was saying, Chromatic Lantern was unplayable in RTR, so what makes a Chromatic Lantern that does not ramp you suddenly playable in Conspiracy?
The fact that it starts from turn one and you don't actually have to pay mana in order to cast it. That's what.
Yeah. Oh, right, because it's not a card disadvantage. It actually...
Oh. Now you see it?
I see it now.
Now you see it.
And as predicted, conspiracies do work like secrets in Hearthstone, so...
Yeah. By the way, I started playing Hearthstone, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
All right, next up, backup plan. Draw... It's a conspiracy. Start in the command zone, face up. Draw an additional hand of 7 cards as the game begins. Before taking mulligans, shuffle all but one of your hands into your library. So you get 2 opening hands that you get to choose from.
That's pretty insane.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, it would be nice if it just gave you 14 cards and said shuffle 7 back, but...
Now, next, Drakestown Forgotten. 4 and a black. Drakestown Forgotten enters the battlefield with X, +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of creature cards in all graveyards. That is pretty insane in a multiplayer game. It's about the same as Consuming Aberration, but the X...
Well, it doesn't get bigger.
Consuming
Aberration getting bigger is very important to the card, and it's not per card, it's per creature card, correct?
Creature card in all
graveyards. Yes, and the Consuming Aberration just got so out of hand with the mill aspect, you really can't compare the two cards. It just got big so fast, and it was constantly milling your opponent down, and it just gave you 2 win conditions. They have to provide a chump blocker every turn, or you mill them out.
Yep. All right, and the last one for today is Decimate. 2 red-green, sorcery, destroy target artifact, target creature, target enchantment, and target land for 4 mana.
All right.
That is going into every commander deck that can manage red-green.
Let's hope that's in Vintage Masters for Magic Online. Well, let's actually not hope that, because
Let's not hope. That is way too powerful to be online.
Yeah, well, just for Commander. I mean, I don't care about Classic or Vintage Online.
All right, May 19th, we had Aether Searcher. 7 mana for a 6/4. Reveal it as you draft. Reveal the next card you draft and note its name. When Aether Searcher enters the battlefield, you may search your hand and or library for a card with the name noted as you drafted. Cards named Aether Searcher, you may cast it without paying its mana cost if you searched your library this way. shuffle it.
It's okay. I don't know what the multiplayer format's going to look like if you're going to be getting to 7 mana that often, but I don't know.
Judging from the videos, I'm guessing 7 mana's not going to be out of the picture. Because again, you're playing a multiplayer. You're not going heads up aggro straight to your face. Then there's going to be political stuff going around. So if you drop 7 mana, colorless mana, so you're not under mana restrictions, and you can search for whatever the next drafted card was and play it for free, that's pretty cool. And you get a 6/4 body out of it.
Right, and for 7, that's fine.
All right. Next up is Power Play. It's a conspiracy. You are the starting player. If multiple players would be the starting player, one of those players is chosen at random.
I just think that's terrible. Refresh my memory. In multiplayer, non-commander multiplayer, do you draw if you're on the play?
Yep.
It's still not great. I think that's going to be going like...
What do you mean it's not great?
It's on the verge of being great. But I'm not first picking this card. I'm certainly not fifth picking this card.
It's still fun of, guess what? I'm going first. We're not going to roll dice. We're not going to play rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. I'm going first.
Wait, what? Lizard, Spock?
You don't watch Big Bang Theory. You should.
No, I don't have time to watch television.
God, you sound so much like Sheldon.
Someone else called me Sheldon before, and I not got around to figuring out who that is or caring. Incoming chat rage, I'm sure.
I'm sure. All right. Marquesa's Infiltrator, 2 and a blue, 1/1 with Dethrone. Whenever this deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. Not bad. Not great, but not bad.
Brego, yeah, it's fine.
Brego's Representative, 2 and a white. While voting, you get an additional vote, and it's a 1/4 creature. That is pretty awesome. And that's a common. I like that.
Yeah, because we have a lot of those... What's the card?
Will of the Councils?
Will of the Council cards.
Yeah. Alright, so... Next up, Sylvanas Charge, 4 and a green. Parlay, each player reveals the top card of his or her library. For each non-land card revealed this way, you put a 3/3 green elephant creature token, and then each player draws a card. That could be pretty powerful. That could be absolutely insane in a multiplayer commander deck.
I don't think it's any good. It's good for politics, but it's just not good in general.
And then we have Deal Broker. 3 for a 2/3. Deal Broker, draft Deal Broker face up. Immediately after the draft, you may reveal a card in your card pool. Each other player may offer you one card in his or her card pool in exchange. You may accept any one offer. His ability is a tap, draw a card, then discard a card.
So he's a 3-mana 2/3, which is fine. He's also a looter, and he has upside. Picks 1/3, and he's an artifact, so you stay open. This is probably a pack 1, pick 1.
Possibly.
And then Full Art, Therese Nielsen, Judge promos, yep, which are awesome.
All right. And of the mass, we've got a lot of reprints. Pristine Angel, Fires of Yevamea, Spirit Monger, which is a personal favorite of mine from way back when, Altar of Dementia, Spontaneous Combustion, Route was already said, Charging Rhino, Rhea Dawnbringer, Peace Strider, Wakestone Gargoyle, Ajani Sunstriker, Unhallowed Pact, Vampire Hexmage. Then we have more conspiracies. We saw these ones on the Pro Tour. Immediate
action. Don't think we have to read all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the rest of these are just everything we saw on the Pro Tour. Yeah.
Is there anything that you want? Well, Terastodon is getting a reprint.
Oh.
Foil Brainstorms are a thing now.
Volcanic Fallout.
Yep,
Volcanic Fallout got a reprint. That's a modern burn card.
Isn't it already in modern? Because this set is only vintage legal. Vintage and legacy, eternal legal.
But if it's a reprint that's already in modern, then it's legal.
Yes. Oh, you're just wanting to get one.
Yes.
And last but not least, Squirrel's Nest.
Squirrel's Nest. Howling Wolf. Liliana Spectre is being reprinted. Fact or Fiction. What?
Yes, EOTFOFGG.
Oh my. OMGBBQQQ.
I don't know that one.
Swords to Plowshares. It's also getting reprinted.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be a lot of money in here.
Yeah, there is.
And smallpox. Oh, smallpox and multiplayer. Wow. Very, very special. This is going to be a fun set. And I can easily see cards like Liliana Spectre, as fun as it is, can see that being removed and turning this into a cube, which is exactly what I'm planning on doing.
So you're going to...
I'm going to use this to build a cube.
Yeah, it might be expensive to get all the stuff for it, but...
Well, I can go with the base conspiracy set and then just add things as I go.
Fair enough. So you're going to be drafting conspiracy at some point?
I'm going to be trying to get a hold of a couple boxes. And then drafting them and then turning it into a cube.
Interesting.
So...
Will your LGS be doing any conspiracy events?
I have no idea.
Maybe we should get you to go to one of those, if they are.
If they are, I'm more than happy to. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I should check and see if mine is. Probably will be busy that day, but...
All right, what did we have up next?
Vintage Masters, correct? Or am I just so excited to talk about that?
You're not excited enough. You just need to say it louder. You need to scream it.
There's someone sleeping in my house, so...
Sleeping. Okay, fine. Yes. I'll do it. Guess what's up next? Vintage
Masters! We need David. Is he online to just yell Vintage Masters?
I don't know. Maybe we can get a soundboard with him and the midget can edit it in.
Let's see. David is not online.
All right. We can do it without him.
Yes. So hey, midget, if you're going to break into my house again and edit the show, at least do me a favor. Go on my Skype.
Wait. Are you podcasting from your bedroom?
No. Why?
I was going to say, go check under your bed.
I will go and do that. One moment.
And this is where... I get to talk about nothing.
On, have you on my tablet here? Let's see.
Oh, you've...
Oh, no! It's the midget! He's under my bed!
And I think I just lost a co-host. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, I just had to fight off a midget that was chasing me. I thought we got a restraining order on this kid.
I guess not. Did he at least did he at least leave you any booze?
No, he didn't this time.
I guess you were
but
a bad
he
kid.
He got out through the chimney.
He got out.
So I don't
chimney.
Know how he got out through the chimney. He just went barreling out past me and got out through the chimney. So I don't know where he's hiding, but I don't know. We're going to threaten this midget next time he comes in.
I don't know. You're making it sound like he's from Magical Christmas Land.
Oh, no. That's where David lives. 5 wastelands and 12 drafts.
All right. So we were talking about vintage. All right. So we want to... start at the top of the spoiler list?
Yeah, let's just go over the money stuff and then some of the stuff that's relevant, I guess, for limited.
You know more of the money stuff than I do.
Well, I think we all know the money stuff here. Mana Drain, Upheaval, Channel,
Balance.
Mishra's Workshop, Tolarian Academy, Lion's Eye Diamond, Time Vault.
Eureka! Wow.
Yeah, Eureka's fine, but it's a mythic. They're putting things at mythic that shouldn't be. Like, Upheaval is not good in limited, and it's not money, it's not a mythic. Parallax Wave is fine as a mythic. Yawgmoth's Bargain is not a mythic.
Oh, and I do see that right. We have Channel?
We have Channel.
So, we have Channel, we have... Oh, you can't actually get away with doing that. So we got Karavex Torch, we don't have... Do we have a way to get up to 3 mana, like, instantly? Yeah, we do.
LED?
We have Orcish Lumberjack. You have the ability to do Orcish Lumberjack into a channel and into a Karavex Torch for the win. And we have dual lands.
Yes, we do have the dual lands.
You could turn two Channel Fireball. That can't be countered unless they pay 2 more to stop it. Wow. Just wow. That is pretty sick. Huh.
Yep.
Anything else that you're seeing in this? And do you think anything the $45 price tag is going to be worth it?
For what? It's a $30. It's a $25 draft, not a $45 draft.
Really? I was reading that it's like $45.
Maybe for a sealed.
Okay.
Not for a draft. No, there's $7 boosters and 4 tickets entry. Tolarian Academy.
That's a
lot. Yeah, there's
lot
not
of
much
money
I'm
right
seeing
there.
In here. It's definitely going to be super interesting. You can purchase packs until Warlords of Khan comes out, so at least that's relatively exciting.
All right. There's a lot in here. But I think we were told that we were going to be getting the whole spoiler at the end of the week. So do you want to save that for later?
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
All right.
We'll talk about later. Yeah. It looks like it could be a good limited format. I don't know about... I guess Time Vault is good. Oh no, it enters Battlefield tapped. It's pretty unplayable then. Okay, let's see. What else do we have to talk about today?
Well, we can go back to the Pro Tour for a minute. The Drama Llama of the Week.
Ah, yes. Guillaume Wafotapa. Waffle Taco?
Wafotapa. And
no,
the...
Waffle Taco. Come on, we're Magic players. We all have to think about food constantly.
Sure, we'll go with that. But yeah, so instant replay in Pro Tour top-level matches. Yay or nay?
Top 8 matches, yes. Otherwise, no.
Because I was watching this... I wasn't watching this on stream. I went back and I watched the replay of it. And it took probably a good 5 to 8 minutes in order to sort out whether or not he drew an extra card. And neither player could give definitive answers to help the judges sort it out. So that they actually started going into other feature matches, which is a good thing that they had multiple matches going so that they could do this kind of thing. But they specifically asked if they could go back on the cameras, and they said, no, we do not have access to it. So I'm wondering, why will this become a thing in the future where they will be able to have access to the instant replay for this type of thing?
I believe the current ruling is only for top 8s of Pro Tours.
Well, they don't have anything currently. But
I believe they do, because they did do...
No, because the judge specifically told them that we do not have the ability to.
It used to be... No, yeah, they don't have the ability to. I thought you were saying they don't have the policy. The current policy in place is they can't unless it's a top 8, I thought.
Oh. Well, either way, do you think this past weekend's event on live, well, television or Twitch TV, do you think it will spur the possibility of them adding in live replay, being able to go back? And if so, do
we
you
had
think they
this
can
debate
add that
before,
to...
and I think it was there was something at a coverage match in a Grand Prix or something that had the replay used on it, and it just held up the tournament so much they decided we can't do this unless it's for the top 8 of a Pro Tour.
Well, then why didn't they go back and do that?
Was this in the top 8?
This was in the top 8. This was a semifinal match.
Oh, I don't know then.
Well, did we have something from the audience?
We do have something from the audience. Do I act and sound like I'm 35?
Sound like, yes. Act, that's still in question.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
And you sound a lot younger than me.
I'll admit, I do sound a lot younger than you.
Yeah. And you can do good impressions of accents, which I can't.
Which you can't.
Which is a sad thing. Yeah, disappointing.
Well, I've had a lot more time to be able to practice it. Not to mention the fact that I have a Scottish background, which makes it that much easier. And I have a junior...
Can you do British?
It takes a little while to slip into that one. Scottish to the Irish is a bit easier.
If you can do a British one, I know there's someone in our audience that would be very happy with you. So
I'll work on it.
All right,
so... We've talked about Standard, we've talked about Conspiracy because nothing happened in Modern. We've talked about vintage and our drama llama. The only thing left is off topic, Hearthstone. I started playing this weekend, and I have to say I'm actually pleasantly surprised by it. And the fact that I got, or sorry, for logging in, creating an account and everything, they actually give you a free draft. It's pretty awesome.
They give you a couple, I think.
Well, I got one free draft, and their drafts only cost 150 gold, and you earn gold by doing the quests and by winning 3 matches in something that's not practice.
Interesting. So I have played a bit of Hearthstone.
Now, I don't think it could ever actually replace Magic, but I think, like, graphic-wise, playstyle-wise, it could give it a really good run for its money.
Well, we know WotC needs to get a better client together.
Yes, they do.
But that doesn't mean anything will ever be as great as Magic is or was if Magic somehow dies, which I don't foresee ever happening.
No, it would take a zombie apocalypse for it to end. It's just become such
a... Which apparently the Department of Homeland Security has plans for if there is a zombie apocalypse, what to do.
Well, why not? Everybody's afraid of it. Might as well have a plan just in case it happens.
No.
You click your mouse a lot. You know that.
Yes, I do. Why? Looking through spoiler stuff.
Ah. Alright, so any shout-outs you want to give?
The usual shout-outs, mtgmadness.com, moto_mart on Magic Online. Check them out. Check them both out. Links are in the show notes. And if you want a free draft set, I want you to go into the show notes. There's going to be an email address in there for MotoMart, and you send them the subject line draft set, and you're entered to win a free draft set. From what I've heard, we haven't had too many entries, so the odds are pretty high that you're going to win it.
Right, and I think you got all the shout-outs I was going to do. So I think the only one I have to give a shout-out to is the midget for helping edit our show and giving you a bloody heart attack.
No, there's no reason to shout out the midget. Anyone who jumps out from under my bed, we're not shouting out. Simple as that. And especially one that runs up the chimney. He was supposed to leave me money for a better internet connection, remember? Remember? You edited the show last week. You know that. Wherever you are, the midget thing.
Just whatever you do, don't look up.
Oh God. Oh God.
Good night, everyone. Yeah! This podcast was recorded in front of a live Twitch TV audience and is hosted on MTGCast and MTGOstrat.com.